Hello, and thanks for listening to JoJo's Bizarre Podcast. My name is Mark, and I'm alone right now because I'm just doing an intro to this very special episode we did as a crossover with the podcast Blake and Spencer Get Jumped. They're a podcast that covers all kinds of anime, and they did some episodes on JoJo, but were interested in checking out the Diamond is Unbreakable arc, and they reached out, and this was a lot of fun. It was fun in part to talk to Blake and Spencer about JoJo and to realize just how much we have learned about the show and about JoJo. And it was fun to revisit Diamond is Unbreakable. We first looked at it 200 episodes ago in, I think, November or October of 2016. So 4 years ago. And revisiting it now with fresh eyes, having seen the rest of the series, has been a real treat, and I know that some listeners have asked us to think about revisiting the show or rewatching it, and this episode was certainly a good argument to try that out. I don't know if we'll do that. It's a lot of fun to watch some of the assorted shows we've been checking out thanks to listener recommendations, and hopefully we won't have time to revisit any JoJo because we'll be getting a new anime, hopefully, possibly, maybe, in the next year or so. But yeah, this is about Diamond is Unbreakable, episodes 1 through 3. It is Mark, Miles, and Jackie speaking with Blake and Spencer of Blake and Spencer Get Jumped, an anime podcast that you can find on Apple Podcasts and anywhere else podcasts are sold. I mean, distributed. I mean, whatever. So thanks for listening to today's episode, and thanks for listening all these years. I'm very proud of the work we've done as a podcast, and I think I speak for all of us when I say that we feel very privileged and lucky that we have so many smart and talented, funny listeners with good taste that have been listening to us for so long, for way too long. And we are excited to enter our fifth year of doing this podcast. Holy hell, that is a long time. Anyway, enjoy this episode.
Mon petit vulcan, your eruptions and disasters, I keep calm.
Hey everybody, Blake and Spencer here. Hi, I'm Spencer, the aforementioned one.
I'm Blake, the also aforementioned one.
Anyways, we're doing Blake and Spencer Get Jumped. If you're listening on Blake and Spencer Get Jumped, obviously you know who we are and you're here because you already know the show. If you are listening on the other show that we are working with today, then we are an anime podcast who watches anime so that you don't have to, but you should still totally watch anime. We rotate through a bunch of shows week over week, as well as doing a weekly jump at the beginning of the week every week, where we go over manga and anime that is new, and then on our Friday episodes we go over shows that are in the canon in much more depth. With that being said, though, hand it over to our guests. Can you go ahead and introduce yourselves?
Yeah, sure. So my name is Mark, and we are JoJo's Bizarre Podcast, and when I say we, I mean Mark and Jackie.
Hello.
That's Jackie. And Miles.
Hello.
Hi. And we're JoJo's Bizarre Podcast, and we cover One Piece. Cover JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, but just the anime. We tried doing like a live kind of coverage episode by episode for Diamond is Unbreakable, but turns out we were not fast enough. So in a weird order, we covered all of the TV anime. Eventually, we got to the OVAs. And because JoJo is off the air and we're caught up, we're just watching random shows that our listeners recommend, and some weird stuff too. We've watched Shrek.
So general anime podcast.
Hold up, pause. Is there a Shrek anime? Tell me there's a Shrek anime.
if you ask the right people, Shrek is an anime, you know.
It is animated.
Yeah,
and that's animation is in Japan, just any animation is anime.
That's
right.
It's anime.
So if you take a Shrek DVD and bring it to Japan, it is technically anime.
Yeah,
right?
We flew to
take
Japan.
That Avatar: The Last Airbender haters.
Yeah, there you go.
Anyways,
well, okay, so I like that you guys have such a focused show on JoJo's Bizarre Adventure. So you mentioned that you focused specifically on the anime, and it's my understanding that the anime that we're watching today is the current modern anime that is not running right now, but is at least in theory ongoing. There was also an older anime that covered, I think, some of the earlier arcs. Did you guys watch that as well?
Yeah, so it depends on, because they've been animating since 2012 recently, and they've kind of broken them into separate series. Mm-hmm. Like season one was these two giant story arcs, then they did season two was the third story arc. This is very confusing. What we're talking about today is part four, which was a comic in 92, but is season three of the anime that came out in 2016. So the most recent JoJo anime is Golden Wind, and that came out in 2019.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And there are anime straight to home video OVAs from, I think, 92 actually, mm-hmm. and 2000.
Yeah. Okay, so those were strictly just like one shots then.
Also a 13 episode version of Stardust Crusaders. So I was kind of curious if you guys had covered that.
Like the one that's on Crunchyroll and stuff, or the old 90s thing?
The 90s one.
Yeah, so we did do that. We've done anything JoJo animated, and we also did the live action movie. We just refused to read.
I forgot there was a live action
movie. We're just not
going
to read the manga.
We don't want to read.
We don't know how. Look.
Even though we watch subtitles, whatever. Yeah, so, you know, JoJo started in 87. And by
the manga did.
Right, the manga did. And by the late 80s, early 90s, it was huge. And so they did a OVA of the second half of Stardust Crusaders. For some reason, they didn't do any of the intro episodes. They just started with, they're in Egypt, there's a dog, there's a bad guy with water.
Yeah.
And then
it jumps right in.
And it's fantastic. It's such great animation. It's wonderful 90s.
What are you going to do without all of the great vampire lore?
I know.
All of the great Dio kicking so many dogs. He's just the doggiest kicker of all kicker of dogs.
There is certainly some dog murder in the OVA. And
in
then,
every season. There's every yeah. season.
Every season, animals are abused, mutilated. Araki just hates dogs. And then, so they did that, and that OVA was, like, well-regarded and such. And then in 2000, the same company, APPP, was like, we're going to do the beginning of Stardust Crusaders that we never did back then. And so they actually animated in a slightly newer-looking style, obviously, the beginning of Stardust Crusaders. And it's boring, and no one likes it. but we watched that, too, so.
But now we're out of JoJo's, like, animated things to watch, so we're waiting for them to come out with the next I guess season of it, the next arc.
Yeah,
so
hopefully.
In the meantime, we're just watching whatever anime people recommend to us.
Oh, that's cool.
Can we recommend one to you right now, because we are absolutely in love with it?
Sure.
Decadence. Have you started watching Decadence yet?
I think someone recommended that to
really?
Us, but we haven't seen
my
it.
My God, yeah. Watch Decadence.
It's so
like,
good.
Like the English word decadent?
No.
Kind of.
Is it like
it's D-E-C-A and then either space or hyphen D-E-N-C-E. And it's a
okay.
current season anime, so I'm not sure that the whole thing is available yet, but it is streamable.
Yeah.
Okay, I've never heard of that.
It's
oh,
quite
man,
good.
It's so good.
It's also not based on a manga, if I'm recalling correctly. It is. It's just a studio project, so that's interesting in and of itself in a way.
It's going to M. Night Shyamalan you.
I'm wondering...
Well,
you guys,
old M. Night Shyamalan. Like, not like, you know, another Earth M. Night
Shyamalan. There are eras. So you... we've covered a few live-action movies. We have not covered the live-action JoJo's Bizarre Adventure movie. Tell us about that.
It covers this very arc that we're going to talk about today. And
for real?
Yeah. And if I recall, it's bad.
It's not good.
It's not good.
Is it like, hold on. So is it bad in like, it's bad in like a campy sense? Because like, if you're a JoJo's fan, I'm assuming you love camp. Or is it like a bad inside of like a musical on ice bad?
I think they tried to make it like kind of gritty, which like really rubs against like the whole like campy environment of JoJo's.
That's such a misread the weird of JoJo's. Death Note
one? like the weird live action Death Note movie where they really miss the mark.
Yeah.
I haven't seen that, but I do like Willem Dafoe.
I think the Death Note movie is worse.
You saw that?
Yeah.
Oh.
Willem Dafoe is great.
Yeah.
I think he's the main reason to watch it.
Yeah.
That's like, I mean, when they do a live action movie adaptation of a seasonal anime, you can kind of assume that it's going to be bad until somebody's like, no, it's actually good. In the same way that when Willem Dafoe is in something, you can kind of assume that he's going to be great regardless of what's happening around him.
Yes.
Yeah, but you can't always trust that, man. There's like a whole slew of Hallmark movies that have A-list actors in them, and I'm like, what are you doing? And then I was just like, oh, you needed money. Okay, yeah, I get
gotta
it.
Gotta put bacon on the table.
Willem Dafoe would crush a Hallmark movie, though.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, he was in Boondock Saints, and that movie has not aged well at all.
But also not a Hallmark movie, but your point is taken.
It's not? What?
Can you imagine, so though? Hallmark presents Boondock Saints. Jeez.
That is so amazing. Oh my god, I want a poster of that.
So listeners of our show will know that we have covered the first three, I was gonna say seasons, but I guess technically the first two seasons, the first three story arcs, or three and a half, depending on how you're looking at it. We have watched all of Phantom Blood and the first one or second one that I'm forgetting, and then Stardust Crusaders. So we've seen all the way up to this point, which is part four, Diamond is Unbreakable. I have also watched all of these episodes before and have told Spencer several times, some of them on our show, that I was pleasantly surprised with how much I liked it. Because listeners of our show,
for the first time today.
Yeah, listeners of our show will remember that aside from the first three episodes of JoJo's Bizarre Adventure and like the odd episode here or there, we pretty much roundly despised the show.
Aww.
And just read it to filth. So if you want to hear us talk some mad shit episodes about JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, check those episodes. How about you guys?
I mean,
so we actually started our podcast with this show. So I think Miles was introduced to JoJo's with this arc, right, Miles?
Is that correct? So this is the first I ever saw of JoJo's, and I really enjoyed the season. It might be my favorite. And I think if I had...
Man, you were spoiled.
Yeah, I think if I had watched it in a different order, I would have... It would have been really hard for me to get into the show. Because when I think of JoJo's, I think of like the wackiness of this season and like just all the weirdness that goes on. And I feel like if I had started with like, you know, nice Joseph or whatever, like fighting Jonathan. I feel like if I'd started with that arc specifically, it would have been really, really difficult for me to latch on to the show.
It would have been.
And then who knows if he would have agreed to do this podcast.
It's a lot. Phantom Blood is like, it's when I remember it, when I think of it fondly, I am ignoring like the middle 70% of it. I like the beginning. Yeah. I like the end when they're going through the town and Jack the Ripper pops out of a horse and all that. I'm like, yeah, this show is stupid.
Yeah. Like, I really love this. I had a hard time with the first season. I liked the Pillar Men arc, and like I found Stardust Crusaders, like there was some awesome stuff in there, but I found it too long. So like, it's very, very lucky that this was the first thing I watched.
Yeah, that's... Stardust Crusaders, I would say, Blake and I dubbed the last part of Stardust Crusaders JoJo Ball Z, because it's just like the crazy, insane fights that we had wanted the entire time, mm-hmm. but instead what we got was like, Car Man! And also, wandering through a desert and being like, there's an electrical outlet on that rock, maybe we should touch it.
Oh, yeah, but that episode is great with Mariah. I love that.
I like the characters in Stardust Crusaders a lot, but I was also introduced to the characters before. Mark was too, I think, because we saw the video game for JoJo's before we actually watched the anime.
And to clarify, I read all of the manga on my own before the anime came out, before we started talking about it. So yeah, so I've read all of it. I've read parts 1 through 7, some of the current part, which is 8. People ask us to read as a group or whatever together, and I'm like, no, we're not gonna do that.
We'll never.
Maybe like
I'm just gonna piggyback onto it here, Blake, that we should burn him as a witch because he reads.
Oh yeah, and there's a manga for that too. So we have a guide. So for everybody listening at home. Just so you know where we are in time, there are 5 parts of JoJo animated currently. I think the 6th was announced recently.
No, like, not yet. There's like rumors, but...
Okay. I thought that was rumors. Confirmed, so my bad. But we all know it's happening. And then part 8 is the current manga arc. So if you're way in the future, hello. Things are terrible here.
I hope things are better where you are.
Send help back to 2020.
Yeah. So we are, if I haven't said this and you haven't picked up on it, we're watching the first 3 episodes of Diamond is Unbreakable today.
Mm-hmm.
What do you want to do? You guys want to jump in? Do we want to talk about the show more? Or do we want to go into the actual content of the episodes?
We could probably jump in, because if we talk about it in general, I will not stop talking.
Okay.
So it might be good to just good I'll morning. Follow your format.
Yeah.
We'll take you guys take the lead.
We've already talked about this on our podcast, so it was good to see it again. Mm-hmm. And there were some new things that I caught this time around. Which,
okay.
Yeah.
For us. Yeah. Oh, go ahead.
What I was going to say, though, is for everybody who is really, really interested in this, Blake and I have covered a whole bunch of it on our show, and it sounds like it is totally, totally covered on this show that has the name JoJo in it.
Yep.
So surprise, surprise.
With a different approach as well. It sounds like you guys generally enjoy it.
So if you want like a 2 contrasting opinions on it, you should definitely check out both of the things, you know, if you're listening on one thing or the other thing. But anyways, let's get into this because, oh man, it was like a breath of fresh air. Like,
I'm so glad to hear you say that.
Look, what I've wanted for so long while we were watching it. So like, okay, I had a love affair with the very first couple of episodes of JoJo. So like the reasoning why was I didn't know what to expect at all. And I was dropped into this world where it was just like, you have this super strong protagonist. You have this super like Disney villain, evil, antagonist. And then you have just like wacky, wacky off the wall things that are also happening inside of this world. And I was like, cool, down with this. I'm totally coming along. And then they introduce like the magic system inside of the world of like Hamon, and I was like, cool, okay, I'm sort of still in. And then they were just like, okay, there's these things, they're called stands, everybody knows about them, and they all know the names of them, mm-hmm. and there's no reasoning why behind it, and you gotta get on board. And I was just like, okay, Uncle Rick, I guess you're drunk and you need me to get into your spaceship. I guess we're going to go along for the ride. And I was just like, oh man, it threw me for a complete loop. And then I started watching these episodes. And can I say, like, first and foremost, when JoJo finally stops taking itself seriously, and I don't super think that it took itself seriously before, but it's very clear that it doesn't anymore inside of this season. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, oh, that's what I'd been waiting on. Like, it's just, it's Also, the color palette in this season. Holy crap. When they just go like, you know what I love? Pastels. Everything's pastels.
Yeah, this
this shit should be green. And then they're just like, what? It's so the reason why... First of all, I was reading what the producer said on like the Blu-ray commentary or whatever for this episode. And they were talking about how they really wanted to differentiate this from part three, which is the previous season. Mm-hmm. And, there were a few things they did with tone. And I do think this season is kind of gritty, but it does it in like an exploitation genre kind of way.
Yes.
And there is a lot of fun and funky. So it's this weird mix of, yeah, it's extremely silly, but they talk about the darkest things in the world. And the colors themselves, besides like kind of playing into that silliness, a lot of them are to match the covers that the mangaka came up with, because it's typically black and white, but for the covers he would just be like, yeah, this character, he has pink hair and pink lipstick on and his shirt is green. Even if you were like, but in the previous compilation everything was blue, he's just like, I don't care. So there'll be some like special two-page shots or covers where there's just wacky colors, and that's what they were trying to emulate in the anime.
Yeah, it looks great. I will say, since we started covering JoJo, I have watched various people talk about JoJo's Bizarre Adventure. And one of the things that they often cite as a strength of the series is its ability to reinvent itself with each new part. Mm. As somebody who did not, for the most part, enjoy the first three parts, this one is delightful. Partly, I feel like it's more... This is kind of weird to say, given the story that we're going to talk about, but I feel like it's a little bit more narratively focused. It's centered not on a globetrotting situation, which has been kind of the deal with the previous seasons, but it's stuck in a town, so they have to solve all their problems within like a limited space. And I think that's interesting, but I also get the impression, we know that the creator of the series has gone on record, surprising no one, by admitting that he makes a lot of this up as he goes.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And yeah. I think you look, the first season, it's about these vampires, but there's this thing called Hamon. And then in the second season, Hamon can allow you to do more stuff. And then in the third season, they don't completely, but largely dispense with Hamon and replace it with Stans. And it's just like, he's just trying to figure out how he wants to interact with this vampire Hamon Stand world. And here, it feels like he got an idea of a story that he could tell that was a little more tight and a little more focused. And he was like, okay, I've invented Stands. I've invented this kind of universe and the kind of things that the characters in this universe are going to play with and react to. And now I think... I get the impression, as someone who hasn't seen much more than what we're watching today, that this season is something of hitting his stride as far as covering these topics and using these techniques.
How do you want us to deal with spoilers? Because we've seen all of it, so like we can tell you if you're right or wrong right now.
Okay, look, what I'm going with is treat everybody who is here like they have already seen the first three episodes, because we will put it down that the first three episodes. So talk about it from that perspective. And nicely enough, you have somebody in the room that would not like to be spoiled, and I have seen the first three episodes. So
yeah, I would say allude to spoilers loosely in a way that won't give much away past these first three episodes. We definitely give shit away on things like when we're covering Naruto, we will be like, that's foreshadowing, you might not realize it. So well,
by the time
not,
they get like, to anything, they'll have forgotten it. I mean, Naruto is like a million episodes long, right?
Yeah, right.
It's no One Piece, but it's been around for a long time.
So are you guys gonna keep watching this show?
So I am going to continue watching it, which is a hard thing for me to have said before I would have started watching it. Blake probably did not expect that. We might pick it on up as like, continuing on the show as finishing up onto it. But I think one of the things that I take away is one of the best things about doing this crossover to begin with is forcing me to watch more JoJo. And I was just like, okay, you got me back on the train. Don't screw me again.
Yeah, I had actually already been watching it, so I've seen these. I decided to keep up with JoJo after we quit it, because the sort of recurring theme of our coverage with JoJo was we weren't enjoying it, but we really wanted to. So I was like, I know that each season is different and is something of a reinvention, so I'm going to keep watching it and see if I can find something to love. And like I said earlier, I have told Spencer several times that part four is totally different and that I really enjoy it, and I think he will too. So I'm really happy to hear that he does. I am watching it, but if you guys don't know, I watch things very slowly, because I like to watch a lot of things one episode at a time over a long period of time. So
okay, wow.
I'm watching it, but I've been watching it for several months, and I'm only like one or two episodes past where we're watching today.
One way to keep yourself going is to commit to doing a weekly podcast about it.
I watch things like five times faster than I normally would because of the show, and that's not factoring in our new Monday episodes where we're watching like three times more stuff a week.
Oh wow. Look,
but we're getting to some good stuff, man. I would have never read Chainsaw Man, but now I have, and I'm just like, oh, Chainsaw Man.
Yeah, it's
when
pretty
can
great.
I read more Chainsaw Man?
Sounds like like the name of a manga within an anime, like that a kid reads.
It's way crazier than you think it is.
I think the downside of being a slow watcher is that you don't get to a lot of the things that you're excited about very quickly. And when you do get to them, you don't get through them, so you can't really talk about with people. So I like that. It's a good excuse to start a podcast. Of course, don't start an anime podcast, because we already have one, and hands off. So right, everybody listening, go find your own thing.
Yeah. There's two in the room and everyone else get out. Okay, cool. But let's go ahead and jump in with this first episode of Diamond is Unbreakable. You may have remembered from the previous season of the show that there is a character named Jotaro. And you might be thinking to yourself, okay, so I've seen this show. I'm about to pick it up. And Jotaro is going to be an old man, and he's going to be running around inside of a different random Arab country, picking up different younger children of the Joestar family. It turns out that Jotaro is just going to wander into this town looking exactly the same, basically, except for he's like, you know what I want to wear? White.
How much older is he? He's like, what, like 5-10 years older? He's supposed to be anyway?
I think 10 years older.
He's 28 now. So how old? It's 28 is what it said.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he's like 11 years older. Super fresh. Maybe a little bit more.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now he's Josuke the White here in a way, because he was wearing like his dark, like, but I honestly started thinking about that more while watching this. Like, if this is like, if I was in college, this would be my like essay brain of like, I have an idea. I have a theme. I'm going to connect it all. And like, right off the bat in this episode, he's like doing nice things. He's like catching all of Koichi's school books and stuff. He's like upset about a turtle. He's like already a nicer guy. In part three, he was like, fuck you, mom, I'm in jail and shit. And now he's like,
he was a jerk, but in a way that like they want, like, or they create characters for like 13-year-old boys to be like, that's cool, that's a cool guy. He was like very, like, very cool, but also like very kind of a jerk. And I still think he's a jerk, but they kind of like laid off the cool. He's a little nicer, a little less of a jerk, but he's still kind of a jerk.
Now he's cool to me, and he's
cooler. Cooler to me, so. But maybe not as cool to 13-year-old boys who are angsty or whatever.
Yeah. He's gonna run up into this town, immediately show off that he still has stand powers by catching a whole bunch of books super fast. And he's also gonna put them back on this kid's shoulder fast enough that the kid's just like, did I just run into somebody? Am I having hallucinations?
Just something that I noticed, like when the little boy Koichi runs into him, there's like a really loud, like, metallic sound. It's I don't know, like the sound effect that's used makes it sound like
he clanks against his codpiece or something.
Like Jotaro is made out of metal.
Well, that's pretty cool. It does fit within the show's established convention of twisting colors and sounds and stuff to just fit a style rather than a reality, but definitely a metal codpiece for sure.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. That or like he's just, especially in part three, he just has these giant metal emblems on his hat and on his lapels and stuff.
Oh, yeah. That's what it was. So his stand, so if you don't know, stands are basically manifestations of your spiritual power, and people use them to do different things, usually fight each other. Jotaro's stand is called Star Platinum. He has the fastest hands in the world. He's able to punch super fast and also pick up books super fast.
Yeah, he can also see really far and draw really good.
Yeah.
At one point, as needed, extend his fingers for no reason.
That's right. Star Finger, the imaginative name of that move.
Uh-huh. Okay, so this young boy who ran into Jotaro is going to be like, oh, it's okay, I'm going to school. Jotaro's like, okay, that's great, I don't need to talk to you anymore, tell me some more plot. And so he's gonna run into a group of ruffians. The ruffians are gonna be mean for a second until he completely subserviates himself in front of them, and they're like, that's fine. And then they go find another guy. And this other guy looks astonishingly like he should have plot armor. And the reason why is because he does, because his name is Josuke? How do you pronounce this? Josuke?
Yeah.
If you don't know, people listening that have never heard me before, I'm going to pronounce names wrong, and I can't be stopped.
Nor do we really want him to be stopped.
This season is harder too, because it's all in Japan and they're all Japanese names.
Oh,
and
God.
I think that that Araki, the author, I think he purposely chooses like rare Japanese names or something. Mm-hmm. It feels like that. Some of these names I've just never heard ever again.
Well, really it's weird. Also of note that he specifically chooses protagonist names to include JoJo.
Yep.
Right.
Or to be able to be called JoJo. I guess Josuke's last name doesn't have a Joe in it, so...
No, it does.
No, it doesn't.
Oh, Josuke?
It's his...
It's Kujo.
No,
no, that's Jotaro Kujo, but wait, Josuke is Higashikata.
Oh, really?
Yeah, well, Josuke...
Oh, right.
You could read the second kanji in his name as Suke or Joe. So the bullies pick up his school ID and are like, oh, your name's Jojo.
I see.
And, like, that's it. Like, I don't even know if anyone ever calls him Jojo again. I think they just call him Josuke because they're like,
but he is
too many goddamn
a bizarre
Jojos.
Adventure.
It is truly bizarre.
It's bizarre how everyone somehow is named Jojo. Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why do we keep doing this?
Yeah. Anyways, so there's going to be a turtle. Pay attention to this turtle because, number one, Josuke doesn't really like it, but he wants to pick it up for some reason. I think he's trying to conquer fear of reptiles.
He likes watching the turtles for some reason. I don't know. But he likes watching them, and he's also terrified of them, which I think is really cute. Also, just kind of a side note, because
he's like, I love you, but don't touch me.
Yeah.
Koichi, who's kind of narrating parts of this, he mentions that Jotaro is a marine explorer and famous in the scientific world, which I think is cool. That this like
yeah, probably for the way he
badass,
dresses or something.
Like kind of mean guy, not really a people person, but loves marine animals.
And yeah, this is a real swerve from who he was in part three.
Yeah.
You were like, well, you know, he went and he studied marine biology, and then he was going down a long corridor, and there was a fire monster behind him, and he knocked on the ground and says, "You can't pass." And then he fell into a pit and he sent someone away, and then he appeared back and he was just like, look, I just went away to get more marine biology degrees. And we were just like, okay, sure. That's why your coat's white.
He had a lot of catching up to do because he like dropped out of half of his high school year to travel across the world.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. But he made up for it with all those marine biologies. Yeah. So he's shown up in this town called Morio to meet up with Josuke specifically because Josuke is related to him. Because all of the protagonists are related. And so far, they have all been in a straight line. The part one protagonist was the father of the part two protagonist, who was the grandfather of Jotaro, part three protagonist. Part four protagonist is a little bit of a swerve.
Yeah, man, it really had a moment where he was like, oh yeah, so I went over here and I had an affair and we had a child. And then I was like, man, that really rewrites a lot of stuff that happened beforehand. Mm-hmm. And then like Jotaro openly says, he's just like, oh yeah, I'm really going to get on to him about this because he said his whole life that he never loved somebody as much as he loved her. And it was just like, oh yeah, no, he's that same guy that we saw before that we, you know, that fought around and was ridiculous beforehand. Oh, okay.
I mean, what's love got to do with it? Got to do with it. What's love but a secondhand emotion?
Yeah, I don't really know, like, if Jotaro knows how affairs work or cheating works, but you don't have to love another woman
to get her pregnant. She said she was in love with him. She was in love with Joseph.
Maybe he was like, God. That's when he was like, I have to go.
But she also, he was like 70 and she was like 20 or something.
He was 61.
Okay.
And she was technically of age.
Is that how I might say that?
Yeah, she's 20.
Okay. And now she's still young. She's like 35 now.
Yeah.
Still a babe.
Still a babe.
Still a babe.
Yeah. Anyways.
She's a certified babe. Everybody that sees her is like, hey, what's up?
So
yeah, we'll get to her anyway.
So Josuke is going to be attacked by the gang of ruffians that are just being the worst for seemingly plot reasons, I guess. And they're going to just straight up murk a turtle. And that turtle went down super hard. And then Josuke, I'm not going to pronounce it correctly. I want to, but I'm probably going to get wrong again. Anyways, he is going to be like, I don't care about that turtle. I don't care about anything you're saying. I'm just going to be like, okay, everything is fine, until they're just like, your hair's dumb. And he's just like, whoa. Fighting words.
Come for me, come for my family, come for my beliefs, do not come for my hair.
Look, if you come for my hair, fisticuffs are going to fly.
So for you guys who just watched part three, like, was it refreshing to see that the protagonist of this arc was so frivolous, like, after the seriousness of Jotaro?
Oh yeah, that's like one of the reasons I was just like so happy with this all of a sudden, because I was just like, oh, it's Jotaro still taking everything like super seriously, and this other guy just being like, nah, I don't care about anything. I don't really care about anything.
It's a good joke. It's not maybe the most original joke of all time, but like, it's done well here, and it just works. Like, having the guy who could kick your ass, but he doesn't care about anything, but then you push the one button that you shouldn't have pushed, and now he's in it, and he's going to kick your ass. It's also just fun, and it plays out really well.
Can we talk about how just insanely great his stand is? Because this one of the first times I was just like, oh man, this is like peak stand coolness, because... Number one, he's this character. His stand, I can't remember the name of it.
Diamond is Unbreakable.
It's a crazy diamond, but they subtitle it to Shining Diamond to dodge copyright infringement. But it's Crazy Diamond.
So Crazy Diamond is going to hit people real fast, and it looks to be something like Star Platinum would do. And so you're just like, oh, this is another Star Platinum. It's just going to be another JoJo thing. But no, there's a really ridiculous twist, which is that apparently he can regenerate whatever is hit by his stand, except for he can regenerate it in, I guess, whatever form he wants it to come back as. And he like heals the turtle, but also he punches one of the jackass guys in the face, and the jackass guy's face comes back with like a really flat nose, and they all get really upset about it and like run off. And I was just like, oh, that's cool and weird.
Yeah, he basically punches things to destroy them, and then the things that were punched reform together, but he can reform them wrong, or he can break multiple things in the same flurry of punches and then have them reform all together to make
that's really cool amalgam.
I think it's not limited to what he's punched, because the turtle was beat up by the one of those jerk guys, but he was able to fix the turtle.
Oh, yeah, because he tries to save... We're getting ahead of ourselves. Okay. Anyways, he's going to save the turtle. They're going to have a... They're going to have a couple of words when Jotaro is just like, oh, you have a stand. Jotaro then shows off after they get into like a little bit of a back and forth after he insults his hair accidentally. And Jotaro shows off that he can still just straight up stop time. So I was just like, oh, Jotaro is still the most powerful thing in the universe, basically, still.
Yeah, but the nice thing about stands and something that I don't know has always been done well in Spencer's, in my opinion, but I think provides with a good dramatic tension, is that even if you have the strongest stand, you as the stand user are vulnerable. And so somebody can still outsmart you or get the jump on you and take advantage of that. And so there's going to be a fight sequence coming up pretty soon that involves Jotaro, but it doesn't feel like the fight is over before it started, even though his stand is probably the strongest one in attendance,
mm-hmm.
because you are vulnerable and you have to be aware of your surroundings in order to not get got.
Yeah. Okay. So this takes us after they have like a connection moment, and they're just like, okay, we're gonna go and team up a little bit. We're gonna cut completely away from this to go over to random guy driving around, and he's just like, oh, there's a hot girl walking down the street. Maybe I'm gonna hit on her super inappropriately. And she's like, I'm gonna take your head and I'm gonna smash it into your car.
Yeah, she also wants to react entirely inappropriately. It's a little bit much. Also, she's extremely strong to be able to slam his head through his roll down window, which is a vertical movement, and
it's not an American
part of his door.
Why.
Oh, is that what it is?
Poorly built.
Yeah.
I like how this is how they introduce her to us. It's like, look at this freaking like strong lady. She's not like some of the other women characters you've seen who, may have been a little weaker and needing of protection. Like, she can take care of herself.
Yeah, this is a refreshing turn. The series is pretty well known, I think, for animal cruelty and misogyny. And this woman character is doing a lot to push back against that here. Yeah. Even while still being sort of objectified, she manages to sort of like own that and turn it on its head and have agency, which is a really nice change of pace.
Yeah, yeah. I think my next favorite part, though, is the guy is just like, hey, police officer, she just beat me up for no reason. And he's just like, oh, two things about that. One, you must be a terrible human being if you got beaten up by this person. And number two, I'm her dad. Let me just ride off on my bicycle.
Yeah. So yeah, well, he's like, you did call her a bitch.
My daughter can assault anyone she wants.
Yeah,
look at my butt chin.
Outlaw country.
I don't remember if they show it in an earlier scene, but it's also kind of implied that he's annoyed that the driver's car is like shooting exhaust at this old lady. But I was like, well, what is she doing? Like, I don't know. He's not like angling his exhaust pipe and like making old people choke on it or something. She just seems really short.
Yeah,
so I don't know why that's
she's just like, eye level to the exhaust.
So, oh God, I can't get out of the exhaust because reasons.
Yeah, it was a tenuous defense already in terms of not, you know, doing anything for this guy, even though he sucks. But watching now, I'm like, yeah, wait a minute. He didn't like pull up to this old lady at a special angle or something, but whatever.
But I mean, I also have that reaction whenever you're like driving along and you see somebody in like one of those big trucks, and like when they push on the gas pedal, like huge billowing black clouds come out. You're just like, fuck you. Mm-hmm. So I get that.
Yeah. Okay. Cut back to plot relevant things, which is Jotaro and Josuke talking about number one, that he is the bastard son of Joseph's Joestar. And number two, he's going to grandson, right?
No,
he's the bastard son of Joseph Joestar, which
means brain just wanted that to be grandson.
Yeah, it's because even though Josuke is younger, he is still the uncle of Jotaro.
The half uncle, I guess, technically.
Hunkle.
The hunkle, yeah. There you go.
Anyways,
is there,
okay.
You can't be a half uncle.
Well, because
But you can be a hunkle.
Because he's
that's true.
Well, typically when you have an uncle, like your parent and their sibling have the same parents. One set of grandparents. You know what I mean? That had your father and your father's brother. Yeah. But in this case, it's like your grandparent had two different women.
Okay, fine.
So, I don't know. It was easier to say uncle, but okay. I just wanted to point that out.
All right,
he's the uncle.
He's the uncle. That's right.
Old Uncle Joseph. Anyways, they're going to talk about this. Number two, they're going to be talking about inheritance. And Josuke is just like, I don't want inheritance. And he's like, okay, cool. Write that off the list. And then number three, it looks like old Joseph Joestar is getting up to his old punching cameras until they spit out the things that he wants thing.
Mm-hmm.
Which is just my favorite thing from the previous, like, JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, is that he was just like, if I punch something, it'll give me a spirit image. And I was just like, it's just the dumbest and most, like, oh man.
The dumbest part of it was that he had to get a picture from a camera, but he had to destroy the camera to do it. And then later on he was like, oh, I can also do it with TVs, but the TV is fine. Like, yeah, do that each
TV
time.
Blows up for other reasons that time. But yeah, he's just like touching it. And then I think Dio blows it up or something.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Then we're going to find out about the new evil that is in this town. His name is Andrew, and he is possibly the most evil criminal in all of Japan. He also probably has a stand because all evil people inside of this universe have stands. And Jotaro is just like, I don't know why he's getting a stand. I think he has a stand. A lot of people got stands for some reason because of Dio, and I got to figure out why. And that's what I'm assuming this whole season is about. I don't know, but that's what I've taken away so far.
And we won't tell you either way.
Yes.
We'll probably accidentally say something later.
No, we're not. We're not going to do it. We promise.
Okay. My next favorite thing about this episode is the next part where this evil guy is just like, coming up dressed as a milkman trying to kill Josuke's mother, and he just like steps in dog crap.
Yeah, there's like a lot of poop jokes in this arc, especially
and also farts.
there's a bunch of toilet humor in JoJo overall, but this one really comes out strong.
Yeah,
it really starts you out. Yeah.
Which takes us to our first instance of an animal just being completely wrecked by a character inside of this universe.
Well, the dog had it coming.
Dog was a farty dog, by the way. That's what I meant when I said there's farts. That when you first see the dog, like, it, you just hear fart noises.
Well, I think it's shitting, actually.
Is it shitting?
I think it's shitting. The owner's like, oh, you have to go again? And it's just pooping.
Is that why he does what he does? Because he stepped on poop? Anyway.
Yes, that's exactly why. He's taking revenge on him, so he... Well, I think you were going to describe it.
Go ahead.
Yeah. So he's gonna headbutt this dog, basically, into oblivion. And then the blood that comes out, he's going to spit into this guy's open mouth. And I was just like, what is happening?
Oh, it's censored, by the way.
I thought he bit his face off.
He bites the dog's face off. He does not headbutt it. He bites it off.
That's and then he spits the face into the mouth. Is that what
I think
that's what happens. That's what I saw.
It's Angelo is characterized as just like, again, in that like exploitation kind of way, they just describe him as being the man with the most murders and rapes and just awful, disgusting. At one point, Jotaro says the things he did would make a rat in a bathroom puke. Which is like, what? Why does the rat have to be in a bathroom? Is it a special bathroom rat? Like, it's just very over the top.
This isn't like a classy pizza rat. This is a bathroom rat.
But I was thinking, my brain was like, maybe he throws up in the toilet? Like, the rat was so grossed out, he scurried over to a bathroom to throw up? But anyway, yeah, this character is very gross and very evil.
Okay.
He also, wasn't he on death row at some point?
Yes, he was.
But he escaped.
They tried to kill him, and it didn't work.
And that's when Jotaro's just like, he must have a stand. Because that's the only way you could survive it, I guess, unless you have, like, the most neck muscles and, you know, well, these guys. Anyways, that's going to take us into episode 2. Yes, we are only in episode 2. Diamond and Unbreakable is insane.
Can I actually ask you, I know, like, this is probably taking a long time, but I'm curious, did you guys catch the, I don't know if it's before credits or the stuff like the cold open where there's breakfast being cooked?
Oh, yeah. That was weird for me because I had no idea what that was. And I still don't know what that is.
Yeah. So it's basically, I'm not going to tell you what it is really, but to describe it to anybody listening who hasn't seen JoJo's, it's like a montage of someone cooking breakfast, frying eggs, bacon, and then a table setting is there and you see a hand like ready to eat, like the hand is on the table. But then the camera kind of moves back and you see that it's just a severed hand mm-hmm. with a ring on it. And it's censored, so it's black, but it's a severed hand.
Mm. Yeah, I love this. I actually kind of know what that is because of a Super Eye Patch Wolf video I watched about part 4 that spoils it a little bit. It doesn't spoil how it all shakes out, but I know who this dude is. And it is one of the things that made me most excited about part 4. So yeah. That's also foreshadowing for something we won't get to today.
Yeah.
It's the first time you hear the wonderful Morio radio theme, the Mori 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 Morio Cho radio, which is like such a perfect like AM nice. Radio send up.
We can just isolate that audio and play that whenever we're feeling stressed out.
You're welcome.
Yeah, some more smooth jazz with our new friend. Anyways, episode 2 is going to introduce us to the stand that we know is definitely evil, it is a new stand that we're trying out. His name is Aqua Necklace, and he is going to use this to possess people. I assume that they just have to ingest this at some point, or it has to jump in through their mouth at some point to control them. Is that like, am I understanding the stand's power correctly?
Yes. Question mark. It's sort of. That's
my understanding.
It seems like it travels through liquid and you are made up of mostly liquid. So if it can travel through some liquid into you, then the liquid it can travel through is like your water and blood and stuff, and then it can fuck you up.
Okay, so it's a water bender in the moon, yeah?
Kind of.
Yeah, okay, cool.
But it's got to get inside of you by traveling via liquid that's not okay. yet inside of you yet.
But then we do also see it fly like through the air, I think. Maybe that's just the animators not knowing how to transition it, but at one point we see it come out of this like... We didn't really cover it, but it's not that important. The guy with the knife in episode 1, he like, you know, his eyes go dead or whatever. He passes out and Aqua Necklace like slithers out of his mouth and then just kind of like flies into a sewer drain.
That's true. Maybe it is that it can travel incognito in liquid.
Yeah.
And then it can transfer itself in its own form.
I think that's right. I think it blends in.
That seems, yeah. That makes sense. That tracks.
It turns into steam at one point inside of the episodes, so it has that power too. So any form of water it can travel in, apparently.
I don't know if this counts as a power, but it also, when it is in later, when it's in a little bottle, it somehow makes the bottle look like a bottle of bourbon. So
oh yeah,
it can that's, also yeah. write
that's
the word
to
bourbon
confuse
on things.
The I guess he's Josuke's grandfather mm-hmm. into drinking him, because at the end of every one of his hard days of bicycling around town fighting crime, he has to drink some bourbon, and he's totally not an alcoholic, probably.
Yeah, it was the night shift. Those are hard.
Yeah, it was also the 90s.
He's from the 50s.
it was different, and yeah, that's later on, but it's weird because Aqua Necklace, it's not just like the stand turns to the camera and goes, I can turn colors. No, it vomits. It like, the stand goes like, bleh, and a bunch of brown liquid comes out of it. And
oh,
then
God.
The way it makes the logo and the wax seal, well, I have no idea what the explanation is for that. But it's a very convincing bottle of bourbon.
We all know that all of the stands in this show have the power of narrative convenience, so I think that's how he manages that one.
That's true, that's true. Anyways, we're getting a little ahead of ourselves, but that's the next important plot point, which is that the grandfather is going to be murdered. He is then going to be attempted. There is an attempt to bring him back to life by Josuke, because Josuke has the ability to, it seems like, it reminded me of Reject, that Orihime does from Bleach, where she can, like, force things to reverse in time or revert back to what they were. And he's trying to do that, but it turns out he can't save somebody who's dead. So his grandfather is dead, and he can't save him.
And it's, yeah, it seems to be the difference between reforming broken things and reviving or reversing things. Like, he's not really, unlike Orihime, he's not reversing things to a previous state. He is just returning them to an unbroken form, which is similar but legally distinct.
Yeah, I guess so. Anyways, so this is gonna lead to, we have to talk about how it got into the bottle in the first place in order to kill the grandfather.
Oh, yeah. This is which a thing.
There is a huge moment inside of these first two episodes where you get to, number one, see Star Platinum just being awesome again, and beating up this guy, or beating up this stand in order to get inside. But we also get to see the ability that Josuke has is so cool, in that he punches really hard with his stand through a bystander that's been captured by this guy who's being possessed by Aqua Necklace. He punches through this person's body, so killing her, and into the other guy in order to kill him, and grabbing the knife that he had up to this woman's neck, right? So that should kill her and this other guy. But instead, he pulls back out, and when he pulls back out, he reforms the knife stuck inside of the guy's body and the woman back to absolute normal. So she's just like, wait, shouldn't I be dead? And the guy's just like, wait, where's my knife? And then he like looks down, and he's like, I got a knife in me!
Yeah, it's weird because that means that this stand also has like an anesthesia kind of quality to it, because I don't care if you're healed, if someone punches through your chest, you're not going to forget what happened. Yeah. That's extremely painful. So I'm told. I mean, it seems that way.
But they're just sort of like, wouldn't be surprised if it's sort of like a localized field of kind of like reality freeze or something like that, because that would kind of follow with Jotaro and Dio, and also, you know, it would be narratively inconvenient to have that happen, but, like, it makes sense. And it's also of note, like, he does punch through this woman in a way that would kill her. He also punches through the guy in a way that would kill him. And we just said that he can't bring people back from the dead. I think the key difference is that his grandfather, once killed, was killed external to his attacks, whereas this sort of would-be fatal wound is a part of his attack, and so the power is kind of like still on the stack and hasn't been resolved yet.
I like that you put it in Magic Gathering terms. Well,
it's gotta be familiar. My brain translated that into programming, because that's what I do in my day job, but there's
Did it still work in program brain?
Yeah, it worked. It made perfect sense. I was like, oh, are you? And then you said magic, and I was like, never mind.
Yeah, you didn't see Josuke, he tapped a bunch of swamps. And then did he cast Dark Ritual and...
Yeah.
Yeah, it's weird. Because, like, I guess if you destroyed someone's heart, they'd still live for a few seconds, technically. So he kind of breaks through it.
Can call that living.
Part of my fun with JoJo's is, yeah, like, Araki writes it every week. And he makes it up as he goes along, which is why the foreshadowing we talked about earlier, like, that's not from the comic, because he fucking wrote this stuff, like, as he went. He didn't know. But because it's so janky and the logic changes, like, he violates his own rules, I have fun trying to make it make sense and be like, no, that is totally possible, and here's why. And sometimes it's not possible, and I lose, but, you know.
Sometimes it's, like, too far, and you can't make it work.
Yeah, it's just magic at that point.
Okay, okay. So next, let's go into the haunted, spooky house of a whole bunch of vapor, and that is that it's going to start raining while they're guarding this house, and Angelo is going to come up and he's like, "It started to rain, so now I can use Aqua Necklace to take over the house," and there's going to be some fun little back and forth things that happen inside of here where, like, you know, the stand turns into steam and tries to infect them and take them over. But it's going to just be ended with the most ridiculous thing, which is that Josuke swallowed a ripped apart, like, rubber glove.
Uh-huh. What is weird about this?
There's in an attempt... to think in the future, the stand might try to jump into my stomach through my mouth, and he then reforms the rubber glove in his mouth to catch Aqua Necklace inside of it. And then just the way that they get Angela out of the tree is so funny to me. Because he, like, grabs it and he walks outside and he just, like, shakes it. You see Angela just fly out of the tree.
Yeah. I love
the best
that.
The best thing about this fight is what happens to Angelo after it. Like, this, I was already enjoying part four and, like, extra enjoying it because I hadn't enjoyed the previous parts very much and, you know, had low expectations. So I was, like, pretty delighted by this point in the story. And then the fucking thing with the rock comes along and I was just like, I'm in.
Oh, my God. I think this is my next takeaway from this season, is that I love that JoJo finally turns into, and, like, don't, you know, American people, don't be offended by this, but it turns into a cartoon. Like anime has different genres that it can fall within. Like, you know, it's JoJo's Bizarre Adventure is always, to me, seemed like closer to like a shonen genre, where it's just like, it's cool action anime, but also kind of like weird and jokey at the same time and has stuff like that. But instead, because the ridiculous meter is turned up to 11 to this, and they threw all the cares out of the window, I was just like, now it's a cartoon, and also I love it that way. I wanted the rest of the show to not take itself as seriously as that, because he's gonna punch him into a rock. Like, he punches him a bunch of times and gets him sealed inside of a rock, and his face is just sticking out. And then immediately afterwards, they have this, like, ridiculous thing where they're just like, and people called it this rock from ever on, and if you stroll down the street, you see this rock over there.
Well, it's like, called the...
Yes.
And it's a lover's meeting place.
Why? I love it so much.
Why would you meet in front of that rock?
Yeah, it, like,
why would
groans.
Lovers meet there?
It makes noise, because when he first punches the rock...
It's a fucking rapist in a rock.
Yeah.
Why would... No.
Jackie, that's where we met. That's very romantic. What are you talking about?
Oh, my God.
It's weird. So he first, like, seals him into the rock, and I think that he's alive, technically. And I remember, I forgot, again, how this played out, because I have a terrible memory. And I was sitting there like, but if he's alive in there, he can still use his stand. And then that's what happens, is his stand is trapped in the pink rubber glove, but there's some child nearby alone in the rain, and the glove just starts choking the kid and then trying to crawl into his mouth. And Josuke is like, he doesn't say this, but he's like, I have to murder this guy now. And, like, I guess as, like, comic book readers, we don't really want to think like, oh, our protagonist straight up kills people now. But he really, like, breaks this guy up and breaks up the rock and merges him.
Mm-hmm.
And the rock has this weird ass face. And so he should be dead. But at one point, Koichi, like, after all this, Koichi and Josuke walk by it. And he's like, was this rock here before? And he's like, yeah, it just looked different. And very briefly, the rock is like, and so I don't know what he did to this man. If he's, like, dead or, like, comatose. It's,
by the way, every
better
every time
off
you
probably
said
not
that,
asking.
He's probably just like
every time
in
you
a
said
lower
that. By the way, I just
state.
Pictured the rock doing all of this, and I was just and I was just like, what are you doing in this
That's
show,
what it is.
The Rock?
That's right. He when he beat up this guy, he broke him apart and reformed him into
Rock
Dwayne Johnson.
Anyways,
that's right.
This
there.
Is going to take us into the next, you know, I guess this is going to be the next part of the show. If you remember from the way that we broke apart JoJo's on our show, we would do it in like four episode segments usually. And the reason why is because there's usually in JoJo a part one and a part two of like each one of the different episodes. So like episode one, we have the introduction of this new evil guy. It's a new stand we got to defeat. And then in episode two, there's the, you know, the finalization of that. We're leaving you on a cliffhanger here because this is actually going to be a part one. And part two, you have to actually watch yourself or, you know, go check out other people's podcasts, whatever. And that takes us into Koichi and Josuke just coming upon an abandoned house. And they're just like, let's go hang out in that house.
We also learned an important bit of plot from Angelo before he got turned into the Rock, which is that he did not have a stand, but he got his stand by being shot by a mysterious arrow from a mysterious person in a school uniform similar to the one that Josuke wears. And this arrow imbued him with the stand power. Jotaro, upon hearing this, suspects that the arrow was what caused Dio to have a stand. And also just, you know, correctly surmises that this is the kind of thing that is a little dangerous to have out in the world.
I wanted to call this
and wants to go find it.
That's why I went to school.
I wanted to call this the retcon bow and arrow.
Yeah.
Which is just like completely retconning the world that you're in, because he was just like, I have to come up with a reason why everybody has stands. And like, I know.
Yeah. That was already covered last time. Some people, but it was a different reason.
Some people have stands by the arrow, yeah. And some people were like born with these stands, or like it's an inherited trait.
Yeah, but there's also that weird thing where you're like, well, how did the Joestar family in part three maybe got it by Dio getting it? And this is trying to explain that. But I swear there's also something about how Hamon became stand powers. I feel like I always get that wrong.
In part three, they talk about the reason.
Yeah, exactly.
In part three, they talk about the reason that Dio has a stand is because he took over Jonathan's body.
Right, and, okay, so they
had
it. And
that unholy fusion launched his stand. And then they insinuate that Joseph and Jotaro developed their stands through some sort of ancestral link with Jonathan's body, activating a stand for Dio. So in this, they're saying that actually it happened because of an arrow and didn't have anything to do with that. So, you know, it's you just can't think about these things too hard.
Well, yeah, it's like in this case, Jonathan, so what they're saying is, and if you look, Jotaro is looking at a photo while driving of Enya or Enyaba, that little woman that was in the Egypt arc with the arrows, and she was Dio's like right-hand gal. And so the idea is that, you know, she must have, I think this is all sort of like indicated in this, I don't think I'm saying too much, is that she would have pierced him with the arrow, but Dio's body is Jonathan. So then all of Jonathan's kin, progeny, whatever, they all get a stand because their bloodline is cool and special and they have birthmarks.
Did you mean to say right-hand gal?
On the package.
Yeah, I said right-hand gal.
Yes. Because she has two right hands?
Oh, shit, she does. I forgot.
Oh, I thought you were being like,
oh, my
clever.
God, I forgot about no, that not, they had two clever. Right hands.
That's true. Good point.
Why? Nobody knows. Because.
Yeah.
It's just a quirk.
It's just all the handshakes you have to do when you're someone like Enya.
There's,
you have to meet all these people at the same time.
There's going
to
be a big thing about this bow and arrow, though, in Awakening Stands. There's also going to be another character that's going to be introduced. Blake, can you break down for the audience what this character is? Because, like, I just don't understand what he thinks is going to go right here. When he's just like, when he shoots his brother in the
Which
neck.
One
yes.
Wait, are you talking about the Nijimura brothers? Oh, okay. So, they're going to shoot Koichi in the neck. Because this is the bow and arrow of potential Dio fame, and you get a stand by being shot with it, but only if you're strong enough to have a stand in the first place. As we saw in part three, some people are not battle-hardened motherfuckers and cannot handle having a stand, and so the existence of a stand will kill them. The arrow kind of plays in the same territory, which is that if you are shot with it, you will develop a stand if you're hard enough, but if you're not hard enough, you will just be shot by an arrow and die.
Yeah, it's so, something like that. It's like, if you're hit with the arrow and you die, then, well, you die. Who knows if you would have unlocked a stand. But if you're hit with the arrow and you are able to survive, I have no idea why, then you will develop a stand.
If you a little bit different. Sink, then you were not a witch.
Exactly.
But it's also, I think it's supposed to be like, it's strong people will.
Yeah, there's a strong will thing. But like that, it's like separate from having a stand. It's just like, are you a bad enough dude to survive an arrow in
so
your neck?
So I thought
it's really weird.
I thought the reason
and
why
plenty
I said
of people are.
I thought that the brothers found the bow and arrows. Like, this is me not saying it. I thought that the reason that they have stands is because they shot each other with the bow and arrow. Am I not understanding that?
I think they do shoot each other, but I'm just saying, like, if you shoot someone who isn't strong-willed enough with the arrow, they just die, but that doesn't mean that they don't have a stand or couldn't have a stand. It just means they can't survive that, arrows.
Yeah, but
I say this because of something
is
that
this.
Is coming up.
If you are somebody who finds a bow and arrow, because I don't know where they found it yet, and like you, like if you stab one person with a bow and arrow accidentally, I can sort of get that. But like awakening a stand, why would you then shoot your brother with it to be like, maybe he'll get the superpower too? I'm just kind of like, do you expose your friend to gamma rays just because you became the Hulk one time? Like,
I was under the impression that they were given the bow and arrow understanding that it gave people special powers but could also kill them.
I think that's it.
Yeah.
Did I make that up? No, I think that's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think they know what they're getting here.
Yeah. This is this weird thing where like Koichi and Josuke see this abandoned building that is like across the street from Josuke's. And they're like, I saw people in there. And they approach it. And Koichi like sticks his head through the entry gate. And then Okuyasu, one of the brothers, like kicks the gate so that it like isolates his head, like he kind of like pinches it in on Koichi, so he's trapped. And then his brother from the third floor shoots an arrow into Koichi's neck.
Yeah, Okuyasu also is going to second the tradition that Josuke has started here, which is stands that instead of just being insanely powered, they are weirdly powered and used in ways that make them strong. Yeah, so this guy's, Okuyasu is one of the Nijimura brothers, the other one we haven't really seen yet. We're not going to see it today. Okuyasu's ability is the hand, which allows him to basically swipe away whatever exists in front of him and close the gap between where he was and where that swipe ended, essentially. So it looks like he's moving super fast, but he's actually like warping reality by hitting.
Rule of cool for JoJo's Bizarre Adventure is really like the jam. Like, and I think that rule of cool works the best when you don't take it too seriously, because otherwise you have to really explain your magic system or it doesn't work. So I think that that's why I'm finally 100% on board with stands. And the reasoning why is because as soon as you stop taking yourself seriously with that, I'm just like, okay, that means they're not taking the magic system seriously anymore either. And so I don't have to take it seriously either. And I'm cool with it now.
We this series is going a little bit more off of Crablante rules, which is I ate too much crab and now I'm a crab, and then you just move on with your life.
We still try to figure it out on our podcast, though. We'll be like, wait, so how does this work? And we like try to logic it out. And at the end of the day, we're never satisfied, but it makes a good conversation.
I'm satisfied. We had
I'm not satisfied.
A listener wrote in and said, because that's the other thing. Our podcast is like half of it is emails, just people talking about JoJo or the anime we're watching. Or they'll ask for advice on like college. And someone described Stance once as magical bullshit. And it's like, that's sort of your like last resort. When you really can't make it work and be like, but my understanding of physics, it's you just kind of are like, ah, it's fucking magic. I don't know.
No, this is a bad sell for our podcast. We answer every question satisfyingly on JoJo's Bizarre Podcast. We have the correct answers to every JoJo mystery.
Okay, so with that being said, we usually, at the end of this, we've watched these three episodes. I think everybody has a good understanding of where we sat on these three episodes, because it seems everybody is completely on board with this season. Me, as a newcomer to the season, Blake, as a more seasoned to this season, and you guys basically burnt from how many times you've seasoned the season.
I think this is definitely one of the better seasons.
Yeah, I think it's my favorite, and I'm happy to watch it again. I think I might have only seen it once, I think, for the podcast. We revisited some episodes, but I'm noticing new things. I love this this arc this season.
Yeah, I'll say what I've heard of part five sounds intriguing as well.
It's really good.
But
as well.
Before, you know, when we watched parts one through three, each time we would start off and we were like, okay, we're excited. And then we would be disappointed with how it played out. And then we would sort of get near the end of an arc and be like, okay, but the next one is like this. And that sounds interesting. So let's push through. And then we didn't like it again. And so like with part four, I'm loving it, and part five sounds really interesting, and part four has taught me that maybe it sounding really interesting can also be really interesting. So yeah. I'm kind of looking forward to watching more of this.
I think where they both succeed, part four and five, is that, like you said, like they're both more limited in scope. So like there's not as much like rope for Araki to hang himself with.
Mm.
As opposed to like part three, which like kind of sprawls.
Yeah, it feels like a more... one of my favorite things is that kind of like... you get this in some shows like Darker Than Black, where it's like, it's not unlimited power, it's conditional power. And it's taking those conditions and using them in an interesting way. And I think this season, at least in these first three episodes, feels a little bit more like that. Whereas in previous seasons, it felt more like, this can do whatever, and the main character just punches you real hard. And so it was like, it could be cool, but it didn't feel as creative all the time. This feels much more like, oh, that's really clever. And that cleverness gets
Blake
me excited.
Definitely
about
somebody
what's
who gets, you know, gets completely worked up over the different bankais. So he's one of those people that's just like, oh, these swords are all doing different cool things. Let me collect all the swords.
Yeah, I want to know the rules, and then I want to see you use the rules in an interesting way. Don't you read me?
Well, anyways, before we get off of this, let's recap real quick. Can y'all tell everybody where our listeners can find your podcast and everything about y'all?
Yeah, we're JoJo's Bizarre Podcast, and we abbreviate that to JJB Pod. So you can find us on anchor.fm/JJBpod. We're on Twitter as JJBpod. And if you go to Apple Podcasts and you look up JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, the first result is Blake and Spencer Get Chumped. And then maybe,
so you're secretly our rivals.
And then maybe seven fucking podcasts later, you will see JoJo's Bizarre Podcast with a black logo with a bunch of pretty neon colors and such. But it is just so weird to me. I have to admit that I've spent like a decent amount of time just looking at your page on iTunes and just being like, why are they number one? Like, what is this?
Because of all the time you've spent looking at it.
I don't get it. I'm like, they don't even have JoJo's that much. I'm
no, like, no, man.
Is there some metadata? What am I doing?
We also try to figure out the magical world of SEO and don't completely understand it. Anyways, for your listeners, if you're interested in our show and talking about other things other than JoJo.
And have not used the tried and true JoJo's Bizarre Adventure search criteria in Apple Podcasts.
Yeah, we are found on anywhere that you can get podcasts on with Blake and Spitzer Get Jumped. And everywhere our social media is usually Bands Get Jumped, which is B and S Get Jumped. But Blake was just like, this is Bands Get Jumped. That's what I'm reading it as. And that's what I'll always read it as.
That's our not actually in existence rival podcast is a Battle of the Bands type podcast about them getting jumped.
Yeah.
Or it's just like a Van Halen podcast. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know if anyone gets that.
It's been awesome having y'all guys on. This was super fun. Yeah. And thanks for having us on.
Thank you for joining us, and hopefully you will unseat us for JoJo's Bizarre Adventure.
Maybe. Okay. I also don't understand SEO. And I should say that, yeah, since we started with this season on our podcast, if you want to hear us talk about these episodes, you have to go back to like episode one or two, and we probably are dumb and sound like shit.
I was definitely more shy.
Yeah, and... But yeah, you can go all the way back to 2016, and then we do JoJo season 1, 2, awesome. 3, and a bunch of other stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, awesome. Thanks again for having us. This is super cool.